morning, church. God bless you. The Lord is good. And all the time. And that is what? His nature. Hallelujah. Shall we rise up for the reading of God's word? We are reading from the book of Psalms, from chapter 37, from verse 1 to 5. Let us read. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. We have another reading to do in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17, from verse 7 to 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the years of drought. For it does not cease to bear fruit. Hallelujah. We have yet another reading to do. And that is in the book of Hebrews 11, 6 to 8. And without faith. It is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we humble ourselves before you this morning, asking, Lord, that you may cleanse us, O God, cleanse our hearts, that may be fertile ground on which your word, your seed, will fall and bear fruit. We come before you, Lord, this morning, praying that, O God, our characters are going to be changed, to be transformed by your word. I pray, Jehovah God, surrendering myself to you, that I may be a vessel in your hands. Without you, I can do nothing. Without you, I know nothing. Without you, I am nothing. Holy Spirit, come and use me. Use my lips for your glory and honor. At the end of this service, let every person go home with a rhema word that can lead them in the days to come. We give you glory and welcome your Holy Spirit to saturate our hearts. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome you all and those watching online to this moment of listening to the word of God. And just remind us of the general theme of the church, the parish, our parish, is patriotism from the perspective of men and women who remained faithful to God. Patriotism from the perspective of men and women who remained faithful to God. And being unfaithful is an act of disobedience, and it has its consequences. When you are disobedient, you make yourself an enemy of God and an enemy of the cross. Why? Because God chose you from the world. In the book of John, chapter 15, verse 18 to 9, it's 19 says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. But the world hates you because you were chosen from the world as Christians, as believers, as born-again Christians. So the world hates you, does not love you. And the message of today, the 28th day of September 2020, 28 September 2025 is how trusting in God shapes the character and behavior of a believer. How trusting in God shapes the character and behavior of a believer. As I meditated on these scriptures provided and this subject, there are four things that came into my mind, four lessons that I learned that I would like to share with you, and I pray that you all are going to be blessed. The first lesson I learned, I asked myself, what is the character that a believer needs to be shaped into? Because the message says how trusting in God shapes the character and behavior of a believer. So what is this character that I should be shaped into in order to be one who is trusting in God? And I remembered the sermon preached by Professor Marina last Sunday about the two women, Shifra and Pua, the Hebrew midwives. And I realized that those women, if not for the fear of God that was in them, they would not have done what they did. They saved lives. They brought to life young little boys, babies, who had been sentenced to death by Pharaoh. And I wondered, how can we have the fear of the Lord? How can the fear of God work in us? And I realized that being a midwife, you don't necessarily have to be a woman. You don't necessarily have to be a woman to be a midwife. If you look in society today, there are so many young women and young men being destroyed, dying in drug addiction. They are dying in joblessness. They are dying in alcoholism. And those lives are just dying and disappearing. And they need midwives. You don't have to be a woman to be a midwife. There are these young men and women in society currently. Some have dropped out of school because of school fees. They have nobody to pay their school fees. Maybe parents died and there's nobody to pay their fees. Some have no jobs. They're struggling in poverty. And they've given themselves up to drugs and alcoholism. As prominent businessmen and well-to-do people financially in our parish and even out there, we are capable of birthing new lives. You can be train a young man to be an entrepreneur. You can help them in their school fees as they're struggling because of the fear of the Lord. So one character is the fear of the Lord. And when you have the fear of the Lord, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When these women, Shifra and Pua, were called up by Pharaoh and asked, why have you not obeyed my command to kill the Hebrew boys? God gave them wisdom. They said, you know, those Hebrew women, they are not like our Egyptian women. The Hebrew women, when you arrive, the game is over. When you arrive, they have already put to bed. They have already given birth. So we are not able to kill the boys. God gave them wisdom. They say those Hebrew women, they are strong because of the strong labor they were doing. They were strong. They were able to push and bring to birth without us being there. And so Pharaoh couldn't say anything. There's no, you know, I don't remember the last time I went to the maternity ward or delivery and heard the noises that are there when a child is being brought to birth. With the Hebrew woman, it was not like that. These women were appearing and found there is a baby. And with the Egyptian women, you could hear from out there that a child is about to be born. So God gave them wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Hallelujah. And the characters of a believer also that we also need to cultivate. You can find them easily in the book of Galatians chapter 5 from verse 22. Displaying the fruit of the Spirit. And we all know them as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. All these are in the book for you to read at your own time. The second lesson I learned is asking myself, what is the behavior that I need to display as a believer? Talked about character, and now I'm talking about behavior. And we as Christians, our behavior should be Christ-like. You are a Christian, you should behave like a Christian. You should behave like Christ. Do the things that identify you with Christ. The things that Christ would do. There's a saying which says, if it walks like a duck, if it swims like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, then it probably is a duck. Hallelujah. If it swims like a duck, if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, then it must be a duck. So, who do you associate with? Hallelujah. Now, the Christian believers in the Bible, they identified with each other. They loved one another and showed humility and grace and not condemnation. That should be my behavior. By showing love to those around me and to those outside me. Because those who do not know Christ, when they look at me and they see the way I love others, they should be able to learn something about me. That should be my behavior. I should be living with integrity. That should be my behavior. And where does integrity come from? I read about this in the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 9. Hallelujah. You can read that on your own. And integrity is about being honest. You don't steal, you don't cheat, you don't commit adultery. But sometimes we steal by withholding. We steal by withholding. You are capable of helping, of giving, but withhold. That is stealing. So it's not just by stealing, going to rob somebody. There are various ways we can steal silently. And we say, oh, me, I'm not a thief, I don't steal. But you are stealing by withholding. Hallelujah. We should also pursue grace as a behavior rather than sowing seeds of discord. Hallelujah. Sowing seeds of discord. Do not spread lies and malice to bring division among the brethren. Proverbs 16:28 tells us, a perverse man sows strife and a whisperer separates the best of friends. And in Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 17 to 18 says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Sometimes spreading malice can be very destructive. You hear something from one person without even verifying the truth of that statement they have told you. You go and whisper it to another and you tell them, don't tell anybody, eh? Don't say I told you. And that person goes and tells another person and says, oh, they say this person is like that, like that. And you tell them, don't tell anybody. Don't say I told you. By the time that information reached a fifth person, it is completely distorted. Completely distorted. You are spreading malice about something you cannot even verify. Hallelujah. And by so doing, you are destroying the body of Christ. By so doing, you have the behavior of destroying the body of Christ. And the Lord will not take it kindly as you destroy his body. Hallelujah. Now, another behavior is caring for the body through healthful practices. Remember, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is not your own. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you need to nourish it. You need to take care of it. You need to feed it well with the things that you need to feed it with. You need to pray for it, and you need to subject it to prayer through prayer and fasting. Fasting is not just good in prayer. It's also good. It detoxifies your body. Hallelujah. So you need to take care of your body. If somebody looks at you and how healthy you are, he knows this person has the behavior of a believer. Hallelujah. And we need to serve others and serve the Lord in obedience. Hallelujah. By sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have not seen your friend in church for a long time, find out what is happening to him, to her. Care for one another. Go out of your way to go and look for this person. Maybe this person is sick. Maybe this person is falling back spiritually, and he just needs an assurance to come back to the Lord. Let's care for one another. Go out of your way. Go out of your comfort zone to care for one another. Hallelujah. The third lesson I learned: what can prevent believers from being shaped into the good character and behavior to be Christ-like? What is it that will prevent us? And the first thing the Holy Spirit revealed to me is that bad company corrupts good character. And it's not me who is saying that. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good character, good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Consider King Solomon in the Bible. King Solomon, after his father's death, despite his wisdom, despite him being the wisest man, he engaged in too many political alliances, and not only that, he married so many women and kept so many concubines, and you all know what happened. The women turned his heart away from God. The women turned his heart away from God. You can read that in the book of 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. His alliances with foreign nations were contrary to God's command for Israel to remain distinct and reliant on him alone. They turned his heart away from God. When you spend time with people many times, you begin to strive to fit in with them. If you are unable to fit in them, you should make them come on your side. But if you are too weak to stand against what people are doing, and you know it is not right, get away from them. Stay away from them. Because as you continue to sit with people who are mocking God, who are mocking the gospel, you will begin to nod your head in agreement, and you become like them. But if you are not able to stand up and say, this is not right, don't associate with them. Stay away from them. Because bad company will soon swallow you up. Hallelujah. They will either influence you negatively or you influence them positively. Two things will happen. They will swallow you, or you have to try and swallow them into the gospel. Hallelujah. Bad company will cause you to be involved in slander and gossip. I mentioned earlier. Bad company will lead you to unholy alliances and going back into Egypt. The book of Isaiah chapter 31 verse 1 told us, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the abundance of chariots and in the multitude of horses. They do not look to the Holy One of Israel. They do not seek the Lord." If you continue to align yourself with bad company, they will show you shortcuts of getting wealth. They show you shortcuts of reaching a goal. Hallelujah. But it will soon lead you to destruction. So keep away from that bad company. And bad company brings divisions and destruction. After the death of King Solomon, his son Rehoboam consulted the elders to ask them, "What shall I do? How shall I rule these people?" The elderly people instructed him what to do. But he was not satisfied. So he approached his youthful friends, his young friends, and asked them, "What do you think about what these old men told me?" And they told him, "Forget about these old men. Your father ruled like this. Make it even more harder for them." And that is what he did. And we all know what happened. The kingdom got divided. This Rehoboam remained with only two kingdoms. And the rest of the kingdoms of Israel rebelled against him. So bad company will bring division. Even in families. Even in families. When a child can start associating differently with the outsiders, the enemy will take advantage of that. You'll find your enemies, your rivals, will approach that child. And he can use that child to destroy your business. Can use that child to destroy your family. One member of the family who veers outside of the rest of the family beliefs becomes the element to be used to destroy the family. So bad company can bring divisions. Another thing is unrepentant sin. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, 26 to 27, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. Repent. When the Holy Spirit brings into your heart that you have sinned, this is wrong, repent and turn to God for forgiveness. Because if we repent, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Another thing is complacency. That is refusal to turn from sin. Complacency can be demonstrated in our lives by moral relativism. I mean, you make the right to look like it is wrong. And we have so many examples of those which I cannot mention here today. Now, the fourth one before I finish, lesson is how to cultivate behavior and character that conforms to the image of Christ. Now, as believers, you must realize that you are a chosen generation. You are set apart. And as I said earlier, the world hates you. The world does not love you. So you are set apart. In the book of 1 Peter 2:9, that is where you can read about being a chosen generation and a royal priesthood, and therefore you should act and behave like one. Hallelujah. The answer also is in the book of Psalms that we read earlier. Do not fret about those who are prospering, but delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall grant the desires of your heart. And you also must not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, as we read earlier. Do not be unequally yoked. It's in the book of 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? If you cannot win you them, they will win you to themselves. And remember, friendship with the world is enmity with God. And remember also, God is a jealous God. He will never, ever, ever share his glory with another. And trust in God with all your heart. Remaining faithful to God requires obedience. God's promises are trustworthy and they are true because God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he change his mind, even when he promised Abraham, because there was no higher power for him to swear about. He swore by his own name. So God is faithful and we always remain faithful to his word. Now in conclusion, how can trusting in God shape the character and behavior of a believer? First, you need to know the characters that a believer needs to be shaped into. Identify your deficiency and weakness in accordance with the scriptures that we just read. Secondly, know the behavior that a believer needs to exhibit and identify your weak points and then address them by the help of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, by the help of the Holy Spirit, identify and recognize what is preventing you from being shaped into the character and behavior of Christ as a believer. And the last one, seek the help of the Holy Spirit on how to cultivate behavior and character that conforms to the image of Christ as a believer. May the Lord bless you.